The Baby Lambs podcast may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast. Welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast.
One, two, three.
I wonder if that was at the same time.
It never is. There's always like a 5 second delay.
Well, welcome to the Baby Lambs podcast.
Yes. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome. And bienvenue to the Baby Lambs podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Lisette. And we together are the Baby Lambs.
Yet again. We are Baby Lambs, or as our dean likes to call us, little lambs.
The tiny lambs.
The tiny lambs.
That's us.
That's us. Did you know? Tiny lambs. If you've never listened to us, we're so glad that you're here. We are two Latina 30-something year olds who are married to men and best friends with each other in a lifelong wife situation.
Yep.
You know, they understand. But we are childless. We have dogs. Okay, and wait. We are nerds.
Our dogs are our children.
You're right. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
Okay, we are human childless. We don't have human children's. But we are big fans of pop culture and the news and of the goings-ons of the world. Mm-hmm. We like murder mysteries. We like funny news. And that's really what we talk about on this podcast, is a lot of BS.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I don't know. What do you want to talk about today?
We could talk about our girls' trip.
We can, but let's preface it.
Yes. Okay. So, like 3 months ago, we were all done with COVID. Okay. We were like, fuck this. What is all of this? And we're like, okay, if we decide to be very, very careful and test as frequently as possible, we can plan a girls' trip that's somewhere nearby. Right. And that's what we did. We started testing. We, you know, scaled back whatever external contact we were having. And we quarantined ourselves before going on our trip and tested the week before and went on a lovely girls' weekend to Pompano.
Yes, we did. We did.
We stayed in a lovely house that had a pool. We never left. I used Instacart for the first time. It was a great time.
Yeah, we purposely, you know, because we knew and anticipated that the right thing to do would be not to have a contact with anyone other than ourselves. We essentially made a COVID bubble. Since we wanted to keep that bubble intact, we, like you mentioned, we ordered all of our groceries. We didn't make any plans to go and explore Pompano. We didn't do any of that stuff. We literally had, we made the house our social playground.
Yep.
And it was really, really quite great. And it was all the ladies that you all know, the ladies from the from our D&D campaign. So it was
bittersweet. Fun things we did on this weekend. Jani curated our soundtrack.
Really brilliant soundtrack.
It was fantastic.
Super cool Spotify. We should probably, is it shareable, you think?
I think so, yeah. We could share it. We could put it in the description.
Okay, there you go.
But yeah, we laughed, we cried, we sang along. We did a half-assed attempt at twerking. We swam along to the music. We did so much with it. And we had a PowerPoint presentation party. Because
yes, we did.
Let's not forget. We had a Clue themed dinner and we played Hunt a Killer instead of playing Clue. And that was basically it. I mean, it was very, very short.
It was. I mean, we only tacked ourselves for 2 days, but mm-hmm. You know, everyone except for me really took some sort of attempt at cooking something. Mm-hmm. So like somebody was responsible for breakfast and someone for lunch, and then we had 2 really nice dinners together. Mm-hmm. We did have the PowerPoint presentation party was just hilarious. It was a great way to like kick off our weekend. We all worked on power. So if you're not familiar with PowerPoint parties, you basically just choose everybody chooses their own interest and topic that they want to discuss with the class.
Yep.
It's meant to be fairly short. And that's it. It's just a PowerPoint that you deliver because you want to and not because you have to.
Yeah. And it could be about whatever you want. That was the problem. It could be whatever you wanted. So as we've seen on TikTok, some people have taken it like very serious. Others take it as a joke. Some people are like, you know what? I want to teach you something, which we had one of those.
Yes, we did.
and they just look like a good time when we would watch them on TikTok or whatever. So we're like, we got to have our own. We're so smart. We love talking about random shit, you know, and the best part is that, like, one, we picked the order in random.
Yes.
2, they all bled into each other.
Yes, they did.
3, it was very appropriate to, like, the presenter, like, we all presented according to who we are as people.
Yes. Like, you'd think that, like, duh, of course you did.
Yeah.
But like, no, really. Like, duh. We all presented topics that were very, very us.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we started with, I'm just going to talk about it because it was just really good.
It was, yeah.
Go. So we started with Jani, and hers was all about why RuPaul's Drag Race is the best show.
Of course.
And it was fantastic, right? She talked about like how diverse it is and like, you know, some of the gags from the show, like, you know, when the library is open and all these different things. And then she decided that the library would be open there and proceeded to mm-hmm. read us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Wow. I feel like I need her to do that to me at least once a month. Just like keep reminding me. Remind me like how much of a piece of shit I am. Right.
Yeah, you ain't shit.
Yeah. Which is
none
great.
Of us are.
None of us are, and it was fantastic. And you know, I knew that she was great at like being sassy and reading people, but wow,
she nailed it. It was hilarious. We were all crying by the end of it.
Yeah.
Which led so perfectly into Epi's presentation. Mm-hmm. I will be politically correct for it, but essentially it was a collection of the fictional men that she would not mind a jaunt in the hay with.
Well, is that a jaunt?
Is that soft enough? Is that soft?
Yeah.
It wasn't a soft presentation though, but it was really well organized. She split it in different sections, mm-hmm. you know, she had a really great like scale
mm-hmm.
that she used.
Can we say the scale? Cause I found the scale to be hilarious.
Yeah, sure.
She had a wetometer or a wet-o-meter and it was friggin' fantastic.
Oh yeah.
That made me so happy.
Yeah, and she also had took the time to look for the zodiac signs that are most likely attributed to these fictional men. Mm-hmm. So it just added another layer of complexity to this.
And us being like, oh, that makes sense that they are all Capricorns.
Every single one was a Capricorn.
Yeah, for sure. No, wait, I think Eric Northman was the only one that wasn't a Capricorn.
He was a Virgo? No.
Yeah, Taurus. I feel like he was a Taurus.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I'll look through the videos later.
I don't know. I was laughing too hard and enjoying like the really beautiful transitions that she made.
Yeah. The music choices were fantastic. Mm-hmm. The presentation deck was, like she would say, chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
Oh, that one was so good. I just, yes. so thought out and perfectly executed. And then we had your presentation and yours was great.
mine really broke up the trend we were going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, let's not forget, we have an Aquarius with an Aries rising. So she's going to trick us into thinking she's a fire sign. Then you had a fire sign. And then it's you. And then you had the other two fire signs after.
Yeah. So it kind of worked out, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I was the balance and I was the waves in the fire. The waves. So my presentation, I took it in an educational direction and decided that I wanted to talk about like an interesting, like basically like a drunk history. I wanted to talk about an interesting woman in history that we don't hear a whole lot about. So I told the story of I don't know her name. It's how you pronounce it.
Isao?
Zheng Yisou, who was a Chinese pirate queen.
So
and it was and how badass she was, and she was really badass.
Oh, she's so cool. I wonder if there's a movie on her life.
There's like, I don't know if there's like a full-fledged movie. There's definitely like little documentary pieces on her. There's a really great video that I can send you guys where I got a lot of my information from.
Please do.
But yeah, so I gave this like, I gave a very empowered presentation about this Chinese pirate from the 16th, 17th century.
Yep.
Who'd like basically like changed, you know, basically in some soft and indirect way was the reason for the opium wars in along China with England. So
also what gets me is that like trading salt was like a thing. I mean, I know that like salt at some point was like currency and everything, so it was very important, but it's one of those things that like doesn't really hit you until you like hone in on a person like you did, and then you're like, oh fuck, yeah, it makes total sense why people would be pirates.
Yeah.
Like trying to trade salt. Her story was so cool.
Yeah,
like we definitely need like a bunch of documentaries, a ton of movies, like, it needs a Hong Kong treatment. Let's do this.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I loved it. You know, she's also, Zhang is Cantonese, and your family is also from the region of Canton, and the Chinese that I have on my side, they're also from Canton. So look at us, all of us, just Cantonese people, or descendants of... at this point, you imagine we like try to trace ourselves and one of us is like, bro, I'm related.
I really wanted to go back because she's from the Guangdong district so it would have, so that, and that's the same district that my family lineage comes from, so if you don't think that it crossed my mind, I was like,
oh, I know it might have crossed your mind for sure.
Libby,
duh.
But yeah. And then after me was
you. Me.
Yeah.
Yay.
So because, funny. You know, oh my God, yours.
I'm just happy it worked out.
Was honestly. Epic.
So
yours was an epic.
Thank you. You know, just in preparation for Sagittarius season. I had to get it out.
It was the most Sagittarius presentation of all time, but just like a Sagittarius, it was like effortlessly chaotic,
yay,
and symbolic at the same time. It's just, what a combination.
I had a lot of ideas and in true form was like, I can't pick one. I have to do them all. And the best way I knew how to do them all was just to tell all of them, all like give you all of the covers and then at least one slide that I had planned to show. Right? So we start with GIFs that live in my bisexual mind rent-free. GIFs that have BDE, like just random GIFs that have BDE. And then we go into our zodiac signs as different things. So it was our zodiac signs as serial killers, our zodiac signs as Spice Girl songs, our zodiac signs, what did I do? Hold on. Oh, as vampires, our zodiac signs. Just like so many things. It was so fun. Oh my God.
It was excellent. And even like the zodiac approach that you took with each of us made sense.
Yeah. She
looked up like which zodiac signs were serial killers.
Yep. And you got John Wayne Gacy.
I did. Lucky me. The worst part is I feel like the only reason I knew the answer immediately was because TikTok has been going through, I have like a serial killer TikTok.
You're in that TikTok
and
now?
And someone was like, oh, like astrology isn't real. And then like listed, like had a list of like Gemini, Pisces, Virgo, Gemini, Pisces. And they were all just serial killers. And I saw that John Wayne Gacy was on there. And that's why I remembered it. So when you showed that one, I was like,
What I really liked from that one was the picture, like the little collage that I chose, because if you don't know about John Wayne Gacy, he was a murdering serial killer pedophile.
Yes, he was.
So
he dressed like a clown.
Exactly, he would dress up as a clown. So it was a mugshot, a clown picture, and then him at like a random place in his like normal. Mm-hmm. Or quote unquote, like, you know, yeah. Oh, you know what's one thing that I like saw? Mm. He has a picture with Nancy Reagan.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Is it his
art? At some like fundraiser that the Reagans were hosting or whatever, and he attended. And wow, 7 months after that, he was arrested for one of the murders, for one of the first murders or whatever.
Was it Carter?
It was one of the two. I always got it.
You're right. John Wayne Gacy was photographed with Nancy Reagan on his lap at the White House. What?
Yeah. It just goes to show that like the 70s were a crazy fucking time. Like the 70s and 80s were like just insane. Mm-hmm. Quick tangent, because you know it wouldn't be me without the tangent. I watched Dr. Sleep last night.
Oh, what did you think?
I liked it. I really enjoyed it. But I say it to say there's like a moment where something happens in like the 80s, I think it is. And it just reminded me of how like we needed to go through all of this like bad shit for parents to officially realize that maybe it's not the best idea to have like your child like walk away from you into like random dark places without you.
Mm-hmm.
Or to like, you know, don't open the door if you don't know who it is and make sure that the door is locked.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that generation, I don't know how they're alive, to be honest.
Beats me. Okay. And then the last one, Sasha. Mm.
Sasha. here's the thing about Sasha. As we expected, Sasha didn't really work on her PowerPoint until the last fucking minute. And we even predicted that she would, in part, work on her project while we were, like, at the house. And effectivamente is exactly what happened.
Yeah, but my favorite was that I mentioned it multiple times. We just have the one laptop. It's my laptop. Like, we kept saying the same thing. And then, like, an hour before, she's like, hey, while you guys like do the presentations, can you lend me your laptop so I can work on it while you guys present? And I'm like, no, we can't do that. It's just the one freaking laptop. He was like, oh, you're right. I'm like, yeah, I'll just lend you the laptop. You can work on it and then we could like do this later. But no.
Yeah, it was super. But to be fair, she also cooked that day. She made
pastelón.
Pastelón. Oh my God. Wow. She made pastelón, which I'd never had before.
Okay. All of you like Puerto Rican, Dominican folks that are listening, thank you for having invented pastelón. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, us Caribbean folks and our love of plátano, it's real. You know, we love her. If you don't know what a pastelón is, it's basically a lasagna. So yeah. You boil it, you mash it, you create like your base, then you put like picadillo in it, and then you put your other part of like plátano, and then just cheese. You coat it with beautiful, beautiful cheese on top, and then you pop that in the oven.
Mm-mm. It was delicious.
I want to make it.
And like really, like it takes time, but it's not like a difficult dish.
Yeah.
But it's an easy dish to fuck up. And yeah. She made something so divine. Oh, really?
It was her first time making it. My favorite thing though, why is it that when we cook, and I have to say, I think it's like a Latina thing, we're never 100% happy with what we're making, right?
Never.
And I say
that's because we're raised that way. Because like even like our grandmothers,
yeah,
would like give you something and then they'd be like, necesita sal, or like, it's a humble brag. That's what it is. It's like because you want them to say it's so delicious. It needs nothing.
Exactly. Okay, but I say that to say, so she's making the picadillo, and she had like taken her sweet time, like making her like prepping her sofrito, which is like, you know, garlic, green pepper, onion. She did all of that, but Puerto Rican sofrito and Cuban sofrito are different, right? So for Puerto Ricans, from what I've learned, is like they liquefy it and they dump it, like they dump it into the pan, right? Like, and cook it. For us, we just chop it as much as we can and then we pour that. So she starts, I start hearing her like, do we have something to like liquefy it? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen anything. I'm like, oh, but why? And she's like, no, because I'm making the sofrito and this and that. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like, I eat it. Like, I'm used to sofrito being like this. And she's like, I get it. And it's probably still going to taste delicious, but I already hate it. She was already like, I'm not having it. I hate everything about this. And I'm like, ay, mija, it's going to be fine. Like, but by the time that, you know, you take this out and you have everything put together, you're not even going to really take, like, have the texture of it. She's like, I know. But it's just like, you know, whenever I make Puerto Rican food, I make sure to have the sofrito the right way. And this and that. I'm like, wow. Cultures. We're all just so set in our ways.
Yeah. We're still the same. And different, but the same.
Different, but the same. Because for me, I'm like, there's nothing wrong with the sofrito the way that you're making it. And she's like, no, it needs to be soup.
Well, whatever she did, it was divine. And I wish I should have eaten more of it. Because I finished mine and then I tried to eat a second one. And then I was like, no, I have to wait until tomorrow. But we just kept eating such great food. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
because she made the pastelón and then she started working on her presentation. And we were all pretty much convinced that presentation was probably not going to be very good.
Yeah.
Because she kept saying it wasn't going to be very good.
And we saw her
working on it at the last minute. So we're like, she just doesn't have enough time, you know, to come up with something.
I feel like we were on our heads like, you know, it's not gonna be good, but we'll be nice. We'll be nice. We'll tell her that she did a great job, even if it's like the worst part about these parties, I feel, is that the presentation can be as good or as bad as you want it to be. So for me, like, I just used GIFs and I made it as outlandish as I possibly could because I wanted it to be funny,
right?
You know, could I have made it like a prettier deck and like all these different things? Yeah, absolutely. But that's not what I wanted, you know?
Of course not.
So I just said like, Sasha hates this project. She has zero interest in creating anything. I'm terrified as to what she's going to tell me because I don't want 12 slides about how pretty her face is or how perfect her bone structure is or how Ashley's never been to Europe, like all of these different things. And then Ashley, what does she do?
She basically nailed me to the cross is what she did because her entire presentation was about how Legends of the Fucking Fall is without one of the best movies.
Oh my God.
With no waterfall. It's one of the best movies ever made. And how we all are dumb for never, for not appreciating it. And the reason I say it's like she nailed me to the cross is because when was it? Last, a year or so ago, when during Hurricane Dorian, was it?
Yeah.
One of the hurricanes, she and Epi stayed at my apartment. Because they both live alone and I had a lot of, had enough space for them. They came and she suggested we watch this movie. It's one of her favorite movies of all time. And ever since we watched it, I haven't stopped making fun of it. Not because it's a bad movie. It's just at this point, it's hilarious to make fun of because she gets so mad about it. So
she really does. Like
she will die on that hill. She will die on that hill, my friend. So I've made fun of it over and over. How it's like anytime she suggests a movie, I always say, please not Legends of the Fall.
Like, I feel like what hurts her even more is the fact that Epi doesn't like it because Epi is also her, like, period drama buddy.
She doesn't not like it, though.
Yeah.
Epi's more polite about it. She could have said more. I was the rude one who was like, this movie stupid and I don't want to see it again. But Epi was like, but you know. But it's not because, you know, it has, as Sasha made sure to lay out in full detail, it had all of these wonderful elements that we should really consider when watching the film.
It had Brad Pitt with long hair. Mm-hmm. It had Brad Pitt with long hair and a beard.
Yeah, there's so many versions of, there's him wet. There's a lot of wet Brad Pitt. There's Aidan Quinn is in it. It's picturesque. The mountains of Montana.
My favorite is she has a photo of Brad Pitt, I guess, kissing the love interest. But it's like they're small and then you just see like the beautiful backdrop. And she was showing like in that part, it was like it's romantic. But she was like, but you see, it's picturesque. And I was like, oh my God.
No. It was excellent.
Honestly. We learned that she's related or
Kind of related by marriage?
To Anthony Hopkins. A prima is married to Anthony Hopkins.
Which was like, why couldn't that be the whole presentation?
Right? Like, let me tell you all of the Christmases that I could have spent with Anthony Hopkins, but didn't.
Exactly. That should have been it.
It wasn't even the first fact. It was like the third.
It was. We were like, wait, what? Hold. Please unpack this.
Oh my God.
But yeah, no, it was very emotional. It was very, you know, she wanted to lay down the law of the land. That is that Legends of the Fall without waterfalls is a film worth watching and adoring as much as she, and it convinced you. Because you now are, you have it from your library.
Have I seen it? Not yet. I probably will. I think I'm going to probably watch it like, it's not going to be tonight. But this weekend. I'll give it a try. It's really long.
Be careful.
It's 2 hours and 5 fucking minutes.
It's so long.
What the fuck? How picturesque is Montana?
To be fair, very, very picturesque.
Oh, and there's no
loss, whatever.
It's fine. I'm not gonna like, I'll harp on it once I'm done.
Anyway, that was hilarious. So that was the first day.
Because that day we also had like our little like powwow where we were like all saying our secrets and just like having a good time and just talking. And then at some point, Sasha's like, Ashley, you need to shut up because you've never been to Europe.
Yes.
And we were all like, what? What are you talking about?
Ella tenía conmigo.
Because all you've been doing for the past year and a half is tell her how shitty one of her favorite movies is.
I know. I definitely deserve it.
It was the wrong fact.
But the best part was, you know what it was? We were talking about Paris and how Paris is considered the city of lights.
You're right. That is what it was.
That's what it was. Because we were like, oh, Paris is a city of lights. Rome is a city of love or whatever. And I was just like, how interesting that that's like that's what Paris is known for. And she said something, but you know what? You've never been to Europe or something like that. Yeah. And I had to look at her and be like, bitch, I have.
And then I had the bright idea to be like, do you mean you've never been to Europe? Her whole ass dad died. She was in Europe. I was like, she called me. Even I knew. And I was like, oh my God, we just crossed into a new realm of really, really dark humor. And we're now I'm forcing everyone to acknowledge and listen to that. But
crying, when I say we were crying, I mean it hurt.
But I feel like what really put us over the edge with the way that we're using our dark humor now is that TikTok.
Oh my God. That was it for me. There's a TikTok. If you haven't seen it, we have to find it. We have to find it and post it. But generally, it's about a woman who whose partner gives her a very strange anniversary commemoration gift. And it has something to do with dead parents. I don't want to say too much because I want you guys to find it. So just find our Instagram story or find our Instagram. We're going to post it there.
I think I'm going to put it in the description.
Okay, perfect. Because it is after that, like everything just like that was the top of the hill and we just rolled with all the dead parents. And we have a few this group.
No, so, at some point, Jenny and I were losing it laughing, and I just looked at her and I'm like, I don't know why you're laughing. I have to bake you two cakes.
And that is true.
Stepping away for a quick coffee break. We'll be right back.
Forget it.
Oh my God.
God, we're so terrible.
It was, but I'm terrible. You know what though? That's what friends are though. Be able to laugh at the horrible things. For the record, London is part of Europe. The continent, but maybe it's not part of the Union anymore, but it is part of Europe. Which was even funnier because she wants to go to London so bad. And I'm like, I've spoken to you about London, CM Base, about all the things you could do in London. And now you're telling me I've never been there?
No. She revoked your experience like through and through.
No. But it's just too much. So we had that nice powwow. We had a great time. That was such a wonderful, wonderful night. And we were lucky that we still had more to go. So we all went to our respective beds, woke up to a delightful breakfast by Epi. She made it. She got us all on to soft boiled eggs. One of me, because I know you're not a big soft
egg
person.
I was the only one that was like, yeah, give me that hard boiled egg, girl.
But I've had so many.
I know. I keep getting the photos every morning from all of you, like, look at me. I've been to Europe.
Didn't you? So she made us like this beautiful breakfast with like fruit salad and all that. And then that was the day that we were like, time to pool. And that's what we did literally all day, was sit in the sun for as long as the sun decided to be there, because mm-hmm. we were because the house we were at was beautiful, but the sun faces like, it's like a north facing sun, so like you only had the sun for maybe a few hours.
Yep.
But we still managed to have a good time. We stayed in the pool. We had a delicious lunch laid out by my co-host here.
Yes.
Yes.
I made sandwiches.
But like, you don't understand. It's not like just a sandwich. It's like, it's a sandwich made with love. There's like dressing on it. It has like colors and spices and toasted that.
I'm so glad you
dream about it.
I'm so glad you liked my sandwich. I love making sandwiches because I love sandwiches. They're just so good. And if you have the right bread.
No, there's nothing like it.
Nom nom for us, David.
Yeah, yeah. So. And then at some point, we finally did come back into the house because we, you know, the sun. Mm-hmm. And it was time to... What did we do? Jenny started making dinner. Mm-hmm. We started listening to music, and it was time to get ready for Clue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all dressed up we had a Clue themed dinner.
Yeah. Jenny made chicken katsu and it was delicious.
It was fire. Fire as fuck.
Oh my god, it was so good. That's what I'm dreaming about, because your girl loves a good fried chicken.
I know, and like I realized when I got home, I had all the ingredients. The only thing I don't have is the sauce, but that's easy.
Yeah. Just make it.
But we were all very like on it about like our makeup and our look. We all had our respective characters. So your girl here was Mrs. Peacock.
Duh. For very obvious reasons.
Duh.
Her hair.
But then my lover over here, she was a beautiful Mrs. Plum.
Thank you. It's Professor.
Oh my god.
La profesora Professor. Plum.
Super sexy. The sexiest professor you've ever seen.
You know.
We had a bit of an androgynous moment we had a Mr. Green, and it was Epi, and Epi knocked out of the park. She wore pants and we were all like, good Lord.
Okay, Zaddy.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
No, and then Jenny comes out as the greatest Colonel Mustard
in the white you could ever
imagine, though.
I can't wait to post that picture.
It's so good. She when I was looking at the picture today, and I sent you guys, like, because we have a group shot, and you could just distinctly see who the fire signs are and who the aren't fire signs are.
Mm-hmm.
You just can see it so clearly. But Jenny, I mean, I don't have any problem saying that, like, she won. She won.
She really did. And then let's not forget, before she called, I mean, she's not going to be listening to this podcast, but just in case she decides to listen to it, Sasha was Miss Scarlet.
Oh, Sasha was Miss Scarlet, yes.
Yeah.
And it was totes approps. She was beautiful. She was a knockout. Everybody who's seen her photo as Miss Scarlet is, well, the first thing they see are her beautiful breasts.
No. Those are like grade A... Mm-mm. A5.
Yeah, booze. No, man. Those are Wagyu. Oof. There ain't no chicken in there. Mm-mm.
That is.
No, chef's kiss. She was, per usual, absolutely drop dead gorgeous.
It was really annoying.
It is.
I'm getting tired of how pretty she is.
But she looks so good.
Okay, but Epi's dress that she borrowed.
That dress is so drop dead gorgeous, and it is a real dress. It's like a dress made by a person that is not an off the rack situation.
That the old woman that made that dress with her hands now has arthritis. I guarantee it, because it's also heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I love dresses like that. Oh, it looks so good.
And it was like, and but to be fair, like, I know that it looks beautiful on Epi. But man, that tells you a lot about a good dress, though, because man, poof. No, she looks beautiful. And we all play, instead of, you would think we would play Clue.
No, that's not who we are.
No. But we did play a one-shot Hunt to Killer box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which was very on brand for us.
Duh.
But it was pretty good. It was pretty fun.
We played with our friends. They'd never played.
Mm-hmm.
We solved it.
And they were all very intense. Everybody was very intense the whole way. Like, they were all very, like you and Jenny deciphering the code.
Yep.
And
then yep.
And Epi looking, well, Epi got relaxed for a while. But then Sasha looking at all of the footprints.
Yeah. Yeah. We got really, like, back to the conversation we had on our PowerPoints, even when we play a game, we are very much who we are. Like, yeah. We fit in our little boxes and our little roles, and we're like, okay, I'm good at ciphers. This is what I'm going to do. And, like, I can look for clues. This is what I'm going to do. It was great. It was great to just kind of see us all, like, just wanting to go in and take action.
Yeah. And per usual, I was just, my character is just, I just like to look at you guys doing everything and just be so happy that we're here. Like, I just looked around and was like, look at us.
Hey, look at us.
We're doing so good. I'm so happy for us. We're doing so good. I've definitely made my heart pitter patter. And then after that, we grabbed our ice creams and went to try to watch Clue.
Yep. And how did that go?
We did not watch Clue.
We did not.
We made it. I mean, I think everybody made it to certain points.
Mm-hmm.
We were all just so sleepy from the day, and it's a lot of exposition in that movie.
Oh my god.
So I knew that, but I hadn't remembered, and as I'm watching, I'm like, well, there's no way I'm gonna make it through this movie. And I think you were the first to go because you were on the floor. No,
it was Epi. Epi was the first.
Epi was like, fuck this, good night.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of us just tried to hang on.
We were like, we're grown. We can stay up past like 10:30.
Girl.
We didn't.
I could have slept standing up. I was so tired.
Yeah.
And that was probably the best sleep ever. Like, after that night, just like, I mean, it's nothing like being home though. But,
yeah.
Bro, I hit the pillow and just snored and farted my life away.
That's perfect. That night I farted a lot.
Yeah.
I will say, if we decide to do another girls trip, I'm down to do the same house if it's available.
I agree. It was a perfect setup. It was. Yep. I would buy that house.
Honestly. Oh, 100%.
I would buy that house. It is everything I want in a house and more, except for all the wildlife. But that was expected because it was so private. It was expected to have. There were lots of little frogs. So yeah. Many, one too many little frogs. But that wasn't the fault of the house. But yeah, I'm totally down for doing it again there. But I'm also down to like have a longer girls trip.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
It just felt very short. And it was, I mean, it was a perfect length to like just like, you know.
I think it really was like when we were planning it, we were just at a point where we're like, we just need to go somewhere. It doesn't matter how long we're there. We just need to like escape our same four walls for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then it was our last day and we're like, oh fuck, we should have stayed here like one or two more days.
For sure. Like I would have been happy like working from there. I would have been like, it was a really, really nice, like very like filled with solitude sort of space. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that our respective significant others who were not very happy with us for leaving them, you know, would disagree. But the good thing is that a great girls trip leads you to want to plan other girls trips.
Yeah.
So we are trying to figure out how we can do that and include our respective men, but continue to do it in a safe way, even though right now it seems really complicated because we're all in, like, the country is in, like, severe COVID spike.
Yeah.
So, and our state doesn't want to, like, do anything about it. Like, DeSantis is literally just sitting on his hands.
Here's what I'll say. Michael did send me a story this morning that says that Jackson Memorial is about to receive the first round of vaccinations.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I know that that's part of the reason he doesn't want to close down. Plus, the economy here is it needs a big boost.
Yeah.
But there's no way you can give it a boost if everybody's infected. Like our whole state is basically a tourist attraction, and no one can come here.
Yeah,
because they're locked down.
We have a lot of old people that live here, that have their own share of health issues. I don't understand like the herd immunity type mentality. But if that's the thing that the state wants to do, then I'll just be in my merry home.
As long as I can work from home, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful that we work where we work. I know that it's not the same across the board. I know that there are plenty of people whose jobs, like those who work in the entertainment industry and in the hospitality industry, that like literally can't do their jobs from home. Like you can't do your jobs without people. Yeah, and,
definitely.
But as long as I can work from home, then I will continue to do so. I don't want to test how strong my body is by catching this. So
I guess Gabe thinks it's funny.
Gabe thinks it's true.
Yeah, even like after having had it, I do worry about getting it a second time because you just don't know how it'll affect you. You really don't. I could get lucky and like have the same symptoms as last time, or it could be worse. It's not a gamble I want to take.
Exactly.
Much less like if I'm asymptomatic, like the second time, and then I pass it on to my parents, God forbid.
Yeah. No, same thing. And like, I mean, even though we all tested and we were safe together, you know, we are approaching Thanksgiving right now and we've all like taken very strong stances on trying to keep them safe too. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, I mean, I know that I'm going to try to follow that as much as I can, as much as it pains me, but it all sucks. And I don't want to risk any more. I will continue to wear my mask and everybody should too. Yeah. And if you're in a state that's locked down, I think there's a lot of states that we're starting their lockdowns today.
Yeah.
In anticipation for Thanksgiving.
It's for the best. We came back from our trip and I told my mom, I'm like, I'm sorry, you're not gonna see me Thanksgiving. We can FaceTime and we can do other things, but we're not gonna go over. And it sucks because it's also my dad's birthday next week.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just, I know that they're, because of their jobs, they still have to see people, and I know that they're as safe as they can, but I just don't want to risk it. I don't like, what would be, I'm more worried that like in all of me trying to be safe, I end up being the one that gives it to them.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to go through that. They live with my abuela and my uncle's also immunocompromised. Like we'll have other things. I'm holding on to like, we'll have more Thanksgivings. And if we don't, we've had a lot of Thanksgivings.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Well, either way, we had a really great time.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have more great times in the future.
We will. Of course we will. Here, look, let me talk to you about Dr. Sleep. That's what I'll do. Like, I can talk. Me, the moment it starts to go down, I'm ready to come back up, baby. That's what I do. Dr. Sleep. That was fun. I agree with Gabe. I feel the same
exact way. Gabe's laughs are always so perfectly timed.
He has his comedic timing on point. It was fun. But I did get to a point where I'm like, is this really like what you want to do for the next 15 fucking minutes? That movie was like 30 minutes too long.
It was. I agree with that. Because
when you get to like the climax of the story, right, where he's with the girl and then they go to the, I'm like, really? You need to take 30 fucking minutes walking around? What is this, a video game?
I think it was, it's definitely like a love letter. I mean, I know it is a legitimate follow-up to The Shining, but it's essentially a love letter to The Shining.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I thought it was better than I thought it would be.
For sure. 100%. Honestly, like, I feel that the trailers that I watched made me feel like it was one movie. And then what happened was a different movie. And I'm not upset about it at all. One thing that Michael and I did not like, because it felt really out of place, were the canisters that held, like, the essence.
Because mm-hmm.
it felt, like, very sci-fi, but it's never explained. It's never, like, I don't understand why these were the canisters. It's like a thermos, but fancy. And I'm like, why couldn't you just get a thermos?
It does lean more into the sci-fi than I was expecting, though.
Yeah.
Like, the first one, like, The Shining, it's not so sci-fi. It was, like, a strange type of haunted story.
Yeah.
See?
Lila agrees, yeah, for sure.
She hears it. She hears it. She knows it.
I think they did a great job, like, incorporating more people.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot more people into the movie.
There was so many. There's so much. The cast is enormous.
Yeah, there's a ton of Lurch is in it.
Yes, he is.
And a thing I didn't like was travel time, because they kept passing this like one road, like going through this one road over and over again, and I'm like, y'all are in like New Hampshire. But you make it to Iowa in like 2 minutes, and then like now you're in Colorado. What is time travel here?
Yeah, it ain't perfect. Which is what it was like the time that they spend walking around
mm-hmm.
been applied to them traveling from state to state. But it would sure. still, regardless, would still be like 30 minutes too long.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. I left. I finished it and I was like, you know what? If I had to, I'd watch it again.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be, I haven't watched it yet, but I know that it's on what, like HBO Max?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it there and Gabe saw it there. He was like, oh, he loves The Shining and all the things I have to do with it. So, yeah.
Can I give you one spoiler? It's like not, it's a spoiler, but not really.
Sure.
Because I mean, you know, it's about The Shining, right?
So, well, I saw the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I saw it in theaters.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. Cause you said now like, oh, I haven't seen it, but.
No, I haven't seen it a second time. Like I haven't gone out of my way to watch it a second time. And Gabe got really excited when he saw it there because he loved it when we saw it in theaters.
Well, that's how I saw it on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was cool was the actors that they chose to replay to be Jack and
looked amazing
and Shelley
the wife
yeah.
I always remember as olive oil.
Me too.
That's how I remember.
I'm like, I made it. It's olive oil. And I thought that they were great, like those moments where you like flash back. I'm like, yo, they did a great job with this.
Yeah.
Cause it would have been really easy for them to just like use old footage mm-hmm. for it. And the fact that they didn't, I was like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'll give you that.
If you're a Shining fan and you haven't seen it, you should. Yeah. You definitely should. It'll make you feel things mm-hmm. like good things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still finishing The Crown. I'll try to watch some of it tonight. The last episode that I finished was the wedding, the Diana and Prince Charles wedding.
I have one gripe with it. Go ahead.
I'm. It's such a good season.
It really is.
It's really such a good season.
Some of our friends or my friends have been like, oh, I didn't like season 3. It was like really slow, whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I love season three. I think that season three really did a great job at like setting you up for Diana and everything that's to come. Yeah. And you really get to learn more about Charles. Like, even you though do. I don't really care for Charles, you do learn a lot more about like his issues with his father and like the crown, you know, and all you these do. Different things.
And you learned so much about Margaret and like,
yeah,
and her, I mean, watching it for Helena Bonham Carter is one of those actors that like, I always like every time I see her on the bill, I'm like, of course she's in this. Like, and I kind of like roll my eyes at it because she's always in everything.
Yeah.
But then when you see her, you're like, you're just amazing though. Like,
so I agree, but I feel that way more toward things where you think that she would fit in. And then I get really happy seeing her in things that I don't think she would fit in. Because right. I do know that she's a great actress. Hot take.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that the fact that she was with Tim Burton and that he used her for everything and that she was his quote unquote
saturated muse, her, I think,
fucked up her career.
Yeah, I think it definitely which is why I'm not that excited to see her. But when I do see her, I'm always pleasantly like I'm so happy at the approach that she takes, and the way that she approached Margaret was so good.
She's even better in season four.
Yes. I mean, so far, so good. And it's true. The thing about season three, because I didn't watch any of season three until like a couple days ago. The thing about season three is that I kind of learned. It is a wonderful season. And it's such a great introduction to Olivia Colman.
Mm-hmm.
But every episode, for the most part, ended the same way, where like every other character storyline happens,
mm-hmm.
and then it ends with the queen just watching over them and looking out a window,
mm-hmm.
and that's the end of the episode. Every episode, and it's like mostly it's like her just being like, "I was right.
Yeah,
I was right about that. Right that Philip needs God. I was right that." Like, that's really her. It's just her being like,
For me, oddly enough, I feel that, like, season three is the season the time in the queen's life, in the sovereign's life, right? Where she wanted to care, but she didn't really care. It kind of feels like that to me. Because it's like, she's at this point been queen for so long. And the fact that like people keep making the same fucking mistakes and that she's the one that has to deal with all these fucking mistakes yet again. To me, she's just kind of like, y'all just need to get it together.
Yeah. She like, and the I'm, way I'm going to look carries, out this window. Yeah. Like even when you see like when King Edward dies,
mm-hmm.
and the way that she treats that moment in time and like having seen her and this whole drama in the first couple of seasons and like the way that she carries the weight of all of the country, yeah. and the way that she's just such a fascinating character. And I don't think she always makes the best decisions. I am excited as I'm watching now with like Gillian Anderson's character as Margaret Thatcher with her Margaret Thatcher. It me tiene mal.
I find her version of Margaret Thatcher to be terrifying.
She like, is so she feels cutthroat. So the everything her work though, like the work that she had in like making her so stiff. Okay. She's stiff everywhere.
Her face, her hand, like she's just like this miserable old woman. Okay. I had not realized how short Gillian Anderson is until I watched the season of The Crown. I was like, how do you have such big dick energy? And you're like 5'3".
Is she 5'3"?
Yeah, she's 5'3". There's nothing wrong with it. I was just like taken aback. you know, because I feel like with Margaret Thatcher, her hair gets bigger, but she gets smaller.
And what's worse is that she's always slouched, yeah. You know, and oh, but like now I've gotten to that point where like where Margaret Thatcher is kind of like, you know, everything needs to be remade, including like the monarchy,
mm-hmm.
essentially. So, but I haven't seen like her start that, but the conversation that they have in the after Scotland, where they both passive aggressively tell each other that they don't like each other, is just the best like girl fight moment I've ever seen. So I'm very excited to finish that. And the girl that they have, the actor or the actress who's playing Princess Diana just magnificent. And the material is so great. And now that we have this couch outside, like we actually have one and it's very big. Gabe was comfortably watching it with me, and it was the first time he actually would watch the show with me.
Aww.
And he was just watching it and being like, oh, I remember when this happened. And I'm like, I know, right? But look how fucked up he made that bracelet. And she found the design. She's met the guy 4 times and they're getting married. Oh, man. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm very
excited. That whole, like, tea with her and Gladys.
Oh, my God. Kill me. Like, when I saw, like, and her reaction was, like, that whole scene, the way that she's just, like, like, the whole conversation that they have where she's, like, this is fucking weird. Why do you know my husband, like, my fiancé, continuously know my fiancé more than I do? Yep. And you're talking to him more than I am.
Yeah.
And you're, like, you have pet names for each other. Oh, no. Everything was a mess.
Outside of how I feel, oh, is someone outside?
Gabe is really mad at me and looking at me from a window.
Nice. Outside of how I feel toward like the relationship between Charles and Camilla, I will say this. It takes a real papayua to have a whole ass conversation with someone's fiance or the man that you're fucking with their fiance and just flat out let her know, like, I've been sucking that dick and I will continue to do so. It doesn't matter if you're here or not.
Pretty much.
Like that whole scene and the way that they delivered it and like everything that comes after for me, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't care how much you dramatize this. This is the greatest real story that has ever been told.
It is.
Give me more drama.
Well, I can't wait to get to it and to finish it and talk to you about it. Man, it's so good.
I know. Okay. We can call it here.
Yeah. I want to make a sandwich now.
Yay, I'm going to do the same thing.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. If you like this and you like us, please be sure to follow us on all of our social medias. You can find us at Baby Lambs Podcast or Baby Lambs Pcast. You can find it mostly we're on basically Instagram and Twitter, but Instagram way more. Yeah. So go to our Instagram. That's where you'll get all of the latest and greatest from us. We post every Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah.
We have D&D games. We play Hunt a Killer. We talk a lot of shit and mm-hmm. we have a good time doing it and we hope that you join us. What else? Oh, if you're in America, you know, happy Thanksgiving, whatever that means, and however you celebrate it, hope you are safe and are connected to your families in some way, shape, or form. We are all suffering, but you know, we commend you. We love you.
Don't spend too much on Black Friday.
And try not to.
Cyber Monday.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Take care of yourselves. We love you.
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Baby Lambs Podcast. artwork created by Janabelle Art. You can follow her on Instagram at Janabelle Art, or you can follow her studio at Studio Nami Tattoo. Music created by Daniel LaCosta and produced by Sunset Studios Miami. You can follow them on their Instagram at Sunset Studios Miami.
And you can follow us on Instagram via our handle at Baby Lambs Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at Baby Lambs PCast or Baby Lambs Podcast. You can find us now on iTunes and Google Play,
yeah,
and even on CastBox, which is actually a really cool app. Also by finding us via our handle, Baby Lambs Podcast, or by visiting our website at babylambspodcast.com. Thanks again for listening.